Chapter 9. Zanzibar. "Can't you two just have a normal, uneventful vacation?" Rube Haywood asked over the speakerphone. "We have plenty of those," Remy replied, "but we only call you on the abnormal ones." "I don't know if I should feel complimented or offended," Rube muttered. "The former," Sam said. "You're our go-to guy." "What about Selma?" "Our go-to gal," Remy shot back. "Okay, so let me see if I've got this straight. You found a diamond-shaped coin that once belonged to the governess of a French commune on some island near Madagascar but was stolen by a pirate. Then you found a ship's bell belonging to some mystery ship. Then a gunboat full of Mexican mercenaries with Aztec names showed up and tried to kill you. And now you've got one of the bad guys tied up in your spare bedroom. Is that the gist of it?"
"That about covers it," Remy said.
"With 3 minor corrections," Sam added. "The Adelaide's coin has nothing to do with it, we don't think, and Selma's double-checking the Aztec angle. As for the name Ophelia, we don't think it was the original. First of all, the engraving is very rough, not professionally done. Second, once we were able to clear away more of the muck, we picked up a couple engraved letters beneath Ophelia, an S and 2 H's."
"I feel like I'm on one of those practical joke shows," Rube said.
"Okay, I'll play along. What can I do to help you?" "First, take our guest off our hands."
"How?"
"If you're thinking about all that rendition business, Sam, I was thinking you pull some strings in the Tanzanian Ministry of Home Affairs and have the police detain him."
"On what charges?"
"He's got no passport, no money, and he was carrying a weapon." Rube went silent for a moment.
"Knowing you two as I do, I'm guessing you not only want him out of the way, but want to see who shows an interest in him."
"It had crossed our minds," Sam replied.
"You still have the gun?"
"Yes."
"Okay, let me make some calls. What else?"
"He claims his boss's name is Itzli Rivera, former Mexican Army. It'd be nice to know more about him and the yacht they were using. He claims it's home ported out of Bagamoyo, the Nijiwa."
"Spell it."
Remy did so.
"It's Swahili for pigeon."
"Oh, good. Thanks, Remy. I've always wondered what the word for pigeon was in Swahili," Rube said.
"Somebody's cranky."
"What are you going to do with the ship's bell?"
"Leave it here," Sam replied. "Selma booked the villa anonymously and wired cash. Not much chance of them finding it."
"I already know the answer to this, but I feel obligated to ask. Any chance of you two just taking the bell and going home?"
"We might just do that," Sam replied.
"We're going to do a little more research and see where it takes us. If nothing pans out, we'll head home."
"Miracle of miracles," Rube said.
"You two be careful. I'll call you when I have info." He hung up. Remy said to Sam,
"We're going to have to get him something extra special for Christmas."
"Right about now, I can guess what he's wishing for."
"What's that?"
"A new, unlisted phone number." They took the Andreas south to Euroa Village, found a ramshackle hardware store, gathered what few supplies they needed, and were back at the villa before noon. Remy left Sam with his hammer and nails and wooden planks and went inside to check on Yaodel, who was sound asleep. She found a couple cans of clam chowder, heated them up, and took the bowls out to the patio. Sam was nailing the last 2 planks into place.
"What do you think?" he asked.
"As a box, Sam, it's wonderful."
"It's supposed to be a crate."
"Crate, box, whatever. Sit down and eat." Half a mile from the end of Chukwani Point Road, Itzli Rivera pulled the rented Range Rover onto the shoulder, then down into the ditch and up the other side into the trees. The terrain was rugged and heavily choked with scrub brush, but the Rover's 4-wheel drive handled it easily.
he turned southwest toward the clearing on Trekwani Point.
Time? He asked nochtly. Just after one.
An hour before the Fargos were set to meet the truck from Mnazi Freight and Hall. Plenty of time to find a vantage point that provided not only a good line of sight, but also an easily accessible route to cut off any escape attempt.
I see the clearing, Nochtle said, binoculars lifted to his eyes. There's something there.
What?
See for yourself.
He handed the binoculars to Itzley, who focused them on the clearing. Sitting in the middle of the dirt road was a wooden crate. Tacked to the side of the crate was a cardboard sign.
There's something written on it, he said, then zoomed in.
After a moment he muttered,
¡Qué madres! What? Asked Nochtle. What does it say?
Merry Christmas. Itzley drove through the trees, down into the ditch and back up the side into the clearing. He stopped the rover and walked over to the crate. He nudged it with his toe. It was empty. He ripped off the cardboard sign and flipped it over. Written in block letters was a message. Let's meet and talk about bells. Nyerere Road Cricket Grounds. Bench, southwest corner. 4 p.m.